Today on Noteworthy Networks, we have Joel Lookadoo. To just share a snippet from his bio, you should know that he's an eighth year educator in Arkansas Springdale School District. His current job title is being the 2020 Arkansas Teacher of the Year. He, of course, is an alumnus of the University of Central Arkansas, class of 2013, having received his bachelor's degree in secondary mathematics education. And he also earned his master's degree in educational leadership from Arkansas State University and is certified in English as a second language, PE, health, and building administration. So welcome, Joel.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for agreeing to come on today. And I know there's so much more to you as a person and as an educator, so I'm looking forward to diving in to more of your work and what you've done over the course of your career. All right, so with that, I'll go ahead and jump in with my first question. How did you become interested in teaching and coaching?
So what really led me to teaching was the coaching side. So, you know, I had great coaches in my junior high and high school years who not only were great, basketball coaches, basketball mind, but they really understood that relationships mattered and developing the whole person. And that kind of shaped what has now become, my career. And seeing that example was just what led me to wanting to get in. As I got into education, I was coaching basketball and I was really enjoying it. I was not enjoying the classroom, though, the math part in teaching. But, my first year, I really struggled with that. I loved half of my job. I loved the coaching, didn't want to do the classroom. But then as I continued on and I decided, hey, I'm going to come back and I think we can make this better in year two, it really flipped. I loved the classroom even more. And what changed in that was I started meeting with other math teachers in my building on a regular basis and having other people to really bounce ideas off of and just collaborate with was what really impacted that change. And now, I just thoroughly enjoy the classroom so much so I got out of coaching to do it more. So it's been an ride and it's been a lot of fun.
Okay, so you kind of like took advantage of that mentorship piece of working with other people, then it sounds like. So going into your career, how did you begin your career? Where did you start teaching and now you're in Springdale School District? So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my first job was actually in Springdale. I've been in the Springdale school district the whole time. And I was fortunate enough, there was a new school opening in Springdale whenever I was looking for a job and happened to land an eighth grade basketball position along with teaching math at Lakeside Junior High. And so they teach eighth and ninth grade. And I've been there for 6 years. And then I spent 1 year at the Don Tyson School of Innovation, which is actually just across the street. So, yes, my entire career has been here in Springdale, which I really love.
Okay. So how is it different, I guess, teaching in the public school setting versus teaching at the Don Tyson School of Innovation?
Yeah. So the School of Innovation is it's a public charter school. So, it still falls under the Springdale School District and anyone can go there. And, but, there's no automatic, it's not like an automatic feeder system. So whereas like your typical junior high, like at Lakeside, you have, if you went to, the middle school that feeds into that, you just kind of automatically go. Whereas the School of Innovation, kind of has a little bit bigger drawing area. There's no automatic feeder system. And so, that's been a change for sure because you're trying to make sure people know about the school and are aware of what is offered there. So that's probably been the biggest change is just not having that system kind of automatically feeding you the next group of students.
Yeah. All right. So can you tell me a little bit about like how most people get into teaching and coaching? I know that you said like you had previous experience with like growing up playing basketball. So how do you think that most people get into teaching and coaching?
It's a good question. I think, I've had the chance to talk with quite a few educators this year in my role as the Arkansas Teacher of the Year, and hearing their stories, there's so many different and unique stories. Every story is unique, and but a lot of them, so many have an educator in their past when they were a student, or somebody, maybe not even an educator, but a mentor or a parent that kind of had those same qualities that you would hope to have in that teacher, and or that coach. And whether that's building those relationships with people, just having a passion for what you do and what you teach, so your content area maybe, but so many of people have that in their past where it's like, hey, I can go back to this person and they really had an impact on me, and I want to be able to do that for other people as well. And I think that's what's such a neat thing about this profession is every day you're impacting students' lives. I don't think it's like there's a chance you might impact them. No, you're going to, either positively or negatively. And I think that's a huge draw to the profession is how can I serve my community, and how can I help students, reach their full potential.
I love that. You're shaping future teachers of the world. All right. So, what kind of education, training, or background goes into teaching and coaching? What does it require? I guess, even more specifically, you could talk a little bit about, like, how do you go about becoming Teacher of the Year in Arkansas?
So, with just the education piece, the teaching piece, there's several different pathways now the Department of Education has created for becoming a teacher. The most traditional is your 4-year college experience of going through an educator prep program, like I did at UCA, and it was such a great experience, getting to have these classes that fit my content area in math, but also fit, the education skills that I would need as a teacher for, how do I manage a classroom, and just the people side too. And so that's been really good to have that experience. But there's also different pathways. If you're a non-traditional route and going through, you started in one career and you want to make a change, there's quite a few ways to do that. For the Teacher of the Year thing, that happened by a nomination process through like my school building, and so we nominated different teachers, and then we kind of just had like a vote, and so received that from my building and then my district. And then the way that they do that is each region, there's 15 regions or educational regions in the state of Arkansas, and so there was one representative from each of those as a finalist, and then they get it down to 4 people, and those are your semifinalists. And they come and they do classroom observations, they do interviews, and it's kind of a whole day of this where you've got people from the State Department coming in and seeing that. So yeah, that's how that process kind of went.
Okay, it sounds like quite an extensive process. How relevant, obviously, I mean, yours is probably pretty relevant, but how relevant is your undergraduate major to the work that you do now?
Yes, mine is very relevant, being math education or secondary math education. That I can even think back to some of my teachers at UCA. Dr. Jean McGee was one, and she worked with me a lot, came out and observed me in the classroom in my internships, and getting that feedback, receiving that instruction there, at UCA was very valuable to what I do now. And over time in the profession, you continue to grow. So that's just the beginning of that learning process. But that was the beginning of the learning process, and it just continues on. But I definitely think that experience at UCA was so important for me to have to really begin this career.
Yeah. All right. What kind of accomplishments tend to be valued or rewarded in teaching and coaching?
It's a really good question. because I think it is so easy to teachers work extremely hard, and we've seen that always, and we've seen that even more, I think, in this year with the COVID pandemic. And it's easy to overlook the everyday, but the everyday is what matters in teaching. Showing up for your students and being consistently there for them, being prepared every single day. That is what I truly value in educators and what I see. I would say on a larger scale too, though, is how do you look for these leadership opportunities? And a lot of that comes through professional growth. So, like the National Board certification process is one that I went through, and it is a it's a pretty intensive process that you're writing, you're reflecting on your teaching, and you're having to show deep proficiency in different areas. And so that's one. I think that comes with an annual stipend too. So it is definitely one that is recognized across the nation. And so that is something. And I think, again, just finding those ways to not only serve your classroom, but how can I get out and serve and help other teachers, support them. So whether that's leading professional development for teachers, at the regional or state level, even in the building level, those things are really valued just because you're adding value not only to your students, but to your profession as well.
Okay, so you're talking a lot about like the leadership qualities. What would you say to somebody that maybe is not necessarily a natural leader, or like how do they go about, kind of stepping out of their comfort zone?
Yeah, I think it's so important that we do find that comfort zone level, and then we do step out. It's not always going full scale, full throttle, to where we're so uncomfortable we can't move, we can't do anything. But finding those ways to challenge yourself, and for me, that has been surrounding myself with people who are going to challenge me. And that I think everyone can do that. You've got people wherever you work that you probably respect and that you think do a great job. Seek those people out and just learn from them. I have someone that I've taught in the same hallway for 6 years with, who I think is probably the best teacher I've ever seen. Well, I have that right on my hallway. So what a resource to be able to just go down to him and say, hey, what do you think about this idea? Or hey, I'm struggling with this concept, or I'm struggling with the student, and give me some feedback on what I could do. And being coachable, I think that's a leadership quality that everybody can have. We a lot of times don't think of that as leading, but being vulnerable and stepping out and saying, I want to continue to learn, is also how we can grow as leaders. So I think that's a huge piece.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What do you like most about your work?
Students, definitely, like that's an easy answer there. Just it's every day is different, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, what they're going to respond with all the time. They're funny. They're unique, and I think that's why teachers are doing what they do, is because they truly love students and just that relationship aspect that you can grow. And you see students are coming into classes every day from different backgrounds. They're coming from different beliefs. They're coming from different socioeconomic, levels, and bringing all of that in the same room is such a wonderful look at what community could and should be, right? And I think that's we have the opportunity in classrooms to develop that and to model how we can be there for one another. yeah, we're learning academic content, but at the same time, we're learning how to work together. We're learning how to listen to one another, how to communicate well, how to be leaders. And so bringing those skills and merging that with the academics of whatever class you're teaching, for me, that's math. That's a beautiful thing. And getting to experience that with people, with students, is just absolutely the best part.
So, on the flip side of that, what do you like least about your work?
It's probably the case in a lot of places. I think just the negative mindsets that you can sometimes experience, whether that is from it can be from students, it can be from colleagues, it can be from, parents, it can be anywhere, but just that when you feel the complaints and the negativity that can come, hopefully that is way overshadowed by the positive outlooks that people bring too. But that can affect you. And I think that again goes to the point of why we need colleagues and peers to push us in that collaborative culture, because we're all going to face that. We're going to face that from ourselves. We're going to have days where we wake up and we're just not feeling it that day. But to surround yourself with people who are going to challenge you, even when things aren't going your way, that's just so needed. And so I definitely rely on them.
All right. Have you faced any challenges in teaching or coaching in the past? Or you can speak on maybe challenges of being the teacher of the year this past year?
Yes, I think one of the biggest challenges of teaching is also my biggest joy in teaching is what I talked about just a couple minutes ago about the bringing everyone together. And we've seen in our world today that that can be difficult. It can be hard to have so many different views on what life should be like, or what whether that's political views, social views, religious views. Putting that in the same room can be really challenging. People can get upset, people can get frustrated, and oftentimes, I mean, you see words matter, and so sometimes things are said that you hate that that was said in your classroom, whether that was a mistake by me as the teacher, or from students, because it hurts people. And so finding ways to build that community is—it's a challenge. It's one I definitely love, but it is hard. I would say, as teacher of the year this year, that is I miss. I have loved this experience so much, and I have grown an incredible amount. I've had the chance to get out and visit different schools and different districts, and kind of travel some around the state. And see just how people are doing things differently. And that has been an experience that is going to help me for years and years to come. I've also been able to grow my own network because our not only in the state, but we meet as a cohort of other state teachers of the year. So, I've got a new friend in every state of the country, and I get to pick their brain as well on things. And so, growing that network has been a big part of this. I will say that one of the challenges of this year is just that lack, it can feel like a lack of community because I'm so used to every day I wake up and I go to my school and I've got my people right there. And now this year in this role, it may be a different school each day, or it may be a different group of people. And so, making sure that I still have that core, those core people that I can come back to and really build on with. And that's been a challenge for me this year too.
Yeah. So how does that work with the traveling? And also, are you still teaching every day, or what does that look like?
So with Arkansas, the way that the state does it, they actually give the teacher of the year a 1 year, they call it a sabbatical, but you're definitely working all year. So you are taken out of the classroom, and so someone fills my spot, and so you can do more work with the Department of Education and attend different meetings, go to different schools. So yeah, that allows me to really kind of have more freedom and flexibility in my schedule.
Okay. So, among the challenges that you've potentially faced, can you share more about how COVID-19 has impacted your career?
Yes, I think my word of the year has been connection, and we've seen how important that is, and how much this pandemic has really affected that. We've had a lot of struggle staying connected with people, and that's been a huge challenge. But I think, as we have seen, it is the blessing and curse of technology, where we probably use it too much, but thank the Lord we've had it this year, right? Like we
Yeah.
need it so much. And I think that has been a huge way to stay connected. I don't think it replaces the human connection of seeing people in person. But it definitely aids in getting through this time. So I think that is it's definitely been a good thing to have.
Yeah. All right, so what do you recommend to students who are about to join the workforce when it comes to facing challenges, whether it's pandemic related or any other hot topic issues that have surfaced over the last year?
I would say, definitely find something that you are passionate about. Whatever you're doing, whatever work you're in, I hope that it is something you truly are passionate about, because then whatever challenges come, you're willing to find ways around those challenges and to overcome them, because it's what you love to do. For me, teaching is not just a job. It's not something I do just to get a paycheck. Like, I truly love walking in to a school building every morning, and I'm excited to be there. And so with that excitement, like, I know there's going to be challenges. I know there's going to be things that go wrong throughout the day, but like, let's do this because it's worth it. And I think when people have that passion, that helps you overcome those barriers and obstacles you're going to face. I would also say, there's so many things out of our control, but we've got to make sure we focus on the things we can control. And so to me, that's our mindset. That's our attitude, the effort I can bring every day. Nothing is getting in the way of those things for me. Like, that's completely within my control. And so if I choose to focus on those things that are within my control, again, you're going to be able to overcome so many challenges, because I think we get frozen, kind of frozen in fear, or just not knowing what to do when we start letting, our mind go to everything we can't control. Because, what are you going to do about that? But if you focus on those things you can control, that are, build your network, build your connections, again, that goes back to something you can do. And so, yeah, focus on the things within your control.
Yeah. So going off of within your control, tying into that, your lifestyle, how does your job affect your general lifestyle? Like, what does a typical day look like for you?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of teachers, the amount of time that goes into teaching, you hear all the time that, well, you get the summers off, you get the Christmas break, and yes, to a degree that is somewhat true, but there are so many nights that are filled with thinking through about your students, planning for the next day, grading, all the things you can't get done during the day when you have students, well, that spills over. And so it is really important that we kind of set some boundaries of saying, you know, I've got to make sure I'm taking care of myself, my family, in this. But there's also going to be times where, you know, hey, I've got to make sure I get this done so that I'm prepared for tomorrow. And so there are quite a few hours after, you know, your contract that you're out there, you're working, whether that's at home or staying up at the school. I would also say, you know, over the breaks, whether that's holiday breaks or summer breaks, you know, there's a lot of learning opportunities in those times. So it's not like, you know, hey, I'm out for 2 months and doing absolutely nothing. It's how am I growing? How am I getting prepared for the next year? And digging into, you know, staying up on new ideas, new philosophies of education that are coming through, and you know, continuously growing in my profession so that I can be, you know, the best I can be for my students.
Yeah. What steps do you recommend or would you recommend to a student that's wanting to become a teacher or a coach? What would you recommend for them to do in order to prepare for that?
I would say, you know, first of all, talk to teachers and coaches that you know. I think getting it from them and hearing about their experience, hearing their stories, that really kind of gives you an idea. I would also choose people that you truly respect, that you think, you know, do a good job in that, because I think those are the people you want to hear from. You know, I want to go to somebody who I say, you know what, one day I hope, if I want to get into this profession, I hope I'm making the impact that that person is, or I hope that, you know, that they show up every day with a smile. They're excited to be here. Why is that? I want to know. And so just talking with them, I think, is a great first step. And then looking into, you know, the programs of study that you want to look at. So, you know, look at UCA, look at, you know, other places that you're interested in, and saying, you know, hey, what are the next steps that they require of me too? So, you know, what classes do I need to be taking if I'm a student, or, you know, what things do I need to get in order to really jump into the whole process?
Yeah. All right. What are three key takeaways you would give to students about to graduate from college?
Number one, I would say, keep learning and keep growing. I think, you know, at no point in your career, I think you've made it. Like, you know, don't take that mindset where you go, okay, I'm good now. You know, I can relax and just coast. Because I think at that point you've lost your edge and you've lost that passion. And so, you know, keep a growth mindset to where you want to keep learning, and you want to keep getting better at whatever you do. And then also make sure that what you're doing is something you're passionate about. I think that's my second thing, would be just, you know, you've got to make something, your job doesn't have to be just a paycheck. And I think that's such a huge thing, because we fall into that trap so often. So it's, you know, something you truly are passionate about, that you love doing, that you feel like you can make a difference in. And then I think my third thing, I think I'd go back to just that focus on things you can control. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to set your mindset every day, no one chooses that for you. I think a big part of doing that is giving yourself some time to also reflect. That is something in the busyness of life that we often don't do, that we take time to think and to reflect on the past week, the current day, that we kind of prepare our minds for that. And because I think as we reflect on that, if we reflect on challenges, successes, any of those things, it gives us that opportunity to think about, well, who's somebody that could help me with this challenge? and then I can reach out to them. Or it gives me time to say, you know, this is working for me, and this is not. And so I need to make sure that I'm incorporating into my schedule things that are helping me, and promoting me, spurring me on, right? And so without taking that time to reflect on those things, we just kind of fall in the rut of doing things, and whatever happens, happens. But let's be intentional and purposeful with our planning.
Yeah. All right. So obviously I work in career services at UCA. During your time at UCA, did you ever utilize the resources career services offers while attending UCA?
Not really. I should have more, but, you know, I did rely on, you know, my academic advisors for, even thinking through like internships and job placements. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as I was getting close to the end, you know, my junior, senior year, and in the education program, you're doing student interning. So you're out in a school. I definitely relied on my advisor for like, hey, what could I do to really be prepared for a job interview? What could I do to make sure that my application stands out or my resume looks good? And so I did definitely rely on my advisor in that. Probably should have used the career services.
Yeah, going off of that, I mean, do you wish you had utilized career services? Do you think that maybe like you weren't as aware of what they had to offer, or what do you think it was maybe that you didn't use them?
I think it probably a little bit of the awareness, and then also just like the comfort level of knowing my program advisors, and so like just kind of staying there because I knew them and had that relationship. That was probably a big piece of that too.
Yeah. All right. If you could do it all over again, would you choose the same path for yourself?
I would. I you know, going back from my time at UCA to now, I definitely would. I think there's, you know, there's things I would say I should have done differently, or I wish I could have changed it. But I think every one of those opportunities or a slip up here and there, I think that has been an opportunity for growth, and it's been a learning opportunity. And so, you know, some have asked me, you know, would you coach again? Because I coached for 3 years, and then I was like, you know what? I really love the classroom more. Yeah, I would absolutely do that. That coaching experience was huge for me, and it has shaped so much of my teaching style, from being around the coaches I was with to even just the way, you know, you're coaching and practicing and all of those things. So I would definitely do it again, and I would say just so many of those you know, ways that you the road isn't always straight, but I think in those curves, in the detours, you find so much growth. So I think that's been important.
Yeah. All right. Where can students or other listeners of the podcast go to reach you if they have any questions or would like to connect with you?
Yeah. So I am on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So I have an Arkansas Teacher of the Year account on those. Twitter, I'm at Coach Lookadoo, and then Facebook and Instagram at 2020 ATOY, Arkansas Teacher of the Year. And so ATOY there. But yeah, absolutely. I love connecting with people and you know, continuing to grow that network. So please, please do reach out for sure.
No, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and coming on and sharing more about your experiences and your career. I know I personally learned a lot and enjoyed hearing from you. And I'm sure that our other listeners will as well. But with that, I don't have anything else for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Noteworthy Networks. Support for this podcast comes from the University of Central Arkansas's Department of Career Services. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Noteworthy Networks and Career Services at UCA Career on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We hope you'll listen in for the next guest and more career advice to come.